Hey, we're so glad that you are with us this morning, and it's so cool to worship together. Just like Tony said, we got to be out of the box and be creative, and God's using this in different ways, in new ways. Now, if you are just joining us, we're in a series that's called Unexpected, and that's the reality, right? We are in the season when things are not going the way we planned, and so we are learning how to do new things and how to live in new ways and figure that out. I just want to say thank you first to our church family. A couple weeks ago, we had Easter Sunday. We did our drive-in service on the roof, and we took an Easter offering, and we gave away 100% of that Sunday's Easter offering, and we gave it to a ministry called People to People here in Worcester, Ohio, and they are creating a fund to help after the pandemic, because right now, people are protected. People can't be evicted. Utilities cannot be turned off. But when it's all said and done, a lot of these families that they work with are going to have to figure out how to get back on top of things. And so they're creating a fund that we gave to help the families after the pandemic so that they can be resourced. So often we think about what we're in right now. We are grateful that they're looking ahead. And so So you were a part of that. If you want to support People to People, you can go to their website and support them personally if you want to. Something else that's cool that we said that we're going to announce, last Sunday we announced it, that because of our Easter Sunday drive-in and how well it went, if we are not able to still meet in person for Mother's Day, we will do another drive-in service at the Triway High School for Mother's Day, because we want kids and moms to have something to look forward to, and we'll have crafts and bags that we give to the kids, and they can give gifts to their moms and to the women in their life. And so mark your calendar for Mother's Day, another drive-in service for that. Now, this morning, we are going to be interactive again. So you can see, this is my wife, Nikki. We are together. We're going to be teaching a part of the message together, and then we're going to respond to worship. Pastor Jim and myself are going to teach another part together, and then we're going to respond to worship, and then we're going to kind of wrap it all up together. And so have your notepad ready. We're going to give you a lot of practical stuff to help you this morning. The reality is, in this season, there are some funny things that are happening, and some things that people are doing that are just crazy because there's new norms that we're figuring out. It was cool for our Easter service. I saw this picture online from the Gilsons. They're a family that comes to our church, and for Easter, they got dressed up, but they got dressed up from the waist up. And from the waist down, they wore pajamas. And I'm like, that's brilliant. That's so fun. You know, like, it's Easter. We're coming to a drive-in. They're only going to see us top up. And so pajamas on the bottom. So way to go, Gilsons, for having fun, being creative on Easter Sunday. But another thing a lot of people are doing are Zoom meetings. You know, Zoom is that video chat. And I'm doing a lot of those with people. And there was one that happened that kind of went viral. And it was an embarrassing moment. I want you to watch this because it's just funny. All right, so watch this.
Bye. All right. Talk to you guys
soon.
Bye. See you guys.
Tony!
Tony! Can you hear us?
Tony!
Oh, no. Tony. Jen, call him. Oh my gosh.
I'm running through my pants. I got it.
Hold on, I'm going to text a couple of pictures of that.
Oh boy.
What's up?
Tony, I can see you.
We can all see you.
Okay, so here's the biblical principle. Wear pants, right? Like, wear pants, okay? Like, even if you're on video and you don't think anybody's going to see you, put your pants on, all right? Have some pants on. Maybe for some of you, this season feels a lot like that movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, where it's like every day he was living the same day. And so for you, it's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It looks more like this. It's just day, 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 day. Like, what day is it? I know for a lot of people that's happening, and so there is like funny stuff that's happening, but there's also real tensions that are happening that people are experiencing. I don't know, what are you thinking?
there's a season where just everybody is basically staying at home because of the quarantine. People are not allowed to be able to go out and do a lot of things. I know just last night, our son Nat and I were talking, and he said to me, I love you, but I really would be okay if I didn't see all of you for a really long time. And I just started cracking up and laughing. I said, but I think we all feel that way. Yeah. We have a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old that are at home every day right now. And they ask constantly if they can go places and if they can do things. And you just have to be honest with them and say, we can't do that. It's not open. It's not safe to do that. I think, honestly, us with teenagers are having a little bit easier time than those of you that have littles in the house. For those of you that have toddlers and preschoolers and babies in the house, just so you know, we are praying for you. I know it's really hard. Yes. In Ohio, even the weather has not been very nice. It's still snowing outside a couple days this week. So it's not even that you can go outside and have picnics. You're just literally stuck inside. And that just brings an extra challenge to this pandemic season. Another thing that's going on is a lot of people are grieving over things that they were planning on doing but not being able to do because of the pandemic. Specifically, we're thinking about those that have graduating seniors this year. They've worked almost two decades of their life for this milestone that they feel like they're getting robbed from. And that's really hard, and it's really hard to go through that. I know when I was 18 years old, I probably would not have handled that very emotionally well. And so just so you know, our prayers are with all of you guys of things that you planned for, you worked really hard for, you spent years or months planning, and then all to find out that that whole thing has to be canceled. That's a thing that you have to grieve over. It's something huge that's happened in your life. Another thing that's happening is people that have loved ones that are sick. We know people that have extended family that have coronavirus that are very, very sick in hospitals. They cannot visit them. The only chance that they get is if they're well enough to do some kind of FaceTime with them, but they're not allowed to be with them in person. And those of you that have loved ones that are in nursing homes, that extended time that you're not being able to see them, that you're wondering, are they okay? Are they handling this okay? Maybe they have some confusion going on in their lives because nothing familiar and nobody's coming in that's a familiar face to go and visit them. That's a burden that a lot of families are carrying during this time. There's just a lot of tension that's happening because of this pandemic season. We could go on and on and on with a lot of the tension, and different people handle it in different ways. You have different personalities. There's some people that are introverted that they're like, this, I'm living the dream right now. I don't have to go out and be around a lot of people. I'm living the dream. And then there's other people that aren't coping with this very well. And because of that, they're looking for things, anything that they can control. Anything that they could grasp onto that feels like they have some sense of control in their life. Some people are not working at all, and other people are turning into complete workaholics. There's people that want to stay in their pajamas all day and eat junk food and watch movies, and they're like, this is my pandemic life. You know, hand me the wine and the chocolate, and I'm good. I'm going to just stay here and be comfy. And there's other people on this side that are, I want to maintain some kind of control, so I'm actually putting in extra hours and I'm working really, really hard, and I'm actually not spending much time with my family because I'm trying to control everything over here. And so there's just a lot of different things that are happening in a lot of different families' lives. There's a lot of tension that's going on, and hopefully today you're going to get some tools on how do we manage all of this.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like so many weeks into this, and at first, for some people, like, yay, it's a break. And then it started being like, this break is not just a break. And when are we going to get back together? Or when can I go do normal things? And it does things in our soul. Mm-hmm. It does things in, you know, for our emotional life. It does things in our spiritual life. And we want to provide some tools to help you. So this morning is all about taking notes, okay? Because we are going to be giving you some things to do, all right? Some homework for you to step into. I know this last week, actually last weekend, our family hit a wall, and it was hard. It was like, what is going on inside of us? And just emotionally depleted. You know, when you lead and you're trying to lead and shepherd something, you're used to doing it in a certain way. It takes so much more energy. It takes so much more emotion, and a greater toll. than you realize. And so, like, Nikki and I both were helping to shepherd other people and taking care of our own family. And it got to the point that we were giving, that we were just depleted, and our house blew up. Meaning, like, little things turned into big things. And it's like, ah! And, like, why are we even so ticked off about that small of an issue when normally we would talk about it for 2 minutes and we'd keep moving on? And it's because we let ourselves get to that point of depletion. We thought we could just keep pressing on. The reality is the things we're experiencing right now, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And emotionally, we need to treat it as a marathon. Spiritually, we need to treat it as a marathon. And as I'm saying that, some people are like, don't say that. Don't say that. I want an end. I know what we want, but we also know what's real. Mm-hmm. And we're not here to face like what we hope for. We're like, we're dealing with real stuff in our homes, and you're dealing with real stuff in your emotions. And so you're going to learn today, we want to give you some tools on taking care of your spiritual life and taking care of your emotional life, okay? And this is kind of my first point here. I love traveling. I love flying. I love going in airplanes. Actually, like during this pandemic, I was supposed to take two separate trips for two different meetings, one in Baltimore, one in Chicago. And I enjoy that time. I'm in an airplane. I get to be by myself and like studying and just processing everything that's going on and then hang around other leaders. And I miss it. You know, I missed that moment. I did those meetings on Zoom, not quite the same. But the thing with travel, you get in airplanes and they always have the same spiel every time. Now my earphones usually end during the spiel unless there's somebody really creative, you know, doing a dance while they're doing it. But they always say something about oxygen masks. You know, if the cabin pressure changes, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. And then they always say this, put your mask on first before you help somebody else, right? Whether it's children or somebody around you, you need to have your oxygen mask on first so that you know you're okay and that you're healthy and that you're ready to then help the next person. We want you right now to put your own spiritual oxygen mask on first. We want to give you tools here to help you to make sure that you are putting your spiritual oxygen mask on first. There's a passage in Psalm 23. It's a very popular psalm. You know, I've read it a lot. We use it a lot in worship. But before I get to that psalm, I want to read Hebrews 13 because it sets up Psalm 23. Hebrews 13 gives us a picture of Jesus, what he's done for us, and who he is for us, okay? This is what it says in verse 20. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." You hear that? Mm-hmm. Our Lord Jesus is our great shepherd. We are his sheep. And it says this, that he will equip you with everything good for doing his will, and that you may, that he will work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ died on the cross. God rose him from the dead, and he became our eternal shepherd. He knows what we need. He knows where we are. And so when we go now back to a passage in Psalm 23, and we read about this, we need to understand Jesus right now is shepherding us. We want him to shepherd you. This is Psalm 23. Just verses 1 through 3, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is it. He's leading, he's guiding. Now let's read, where does he lead us? "I lack nothing." I mean, the shepherd gives us all that we need every day. Verse 2, this I haven't read, there's a new insight to this verse that I never really understood before. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." I mean, this is today's word. Like, this is what we need to hear. But in verse 2, I've never really read it this way. I always get to the point where like, oh, good, refreshment. Oh, good, quiet waters. Oh, good. But verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down." Mm-hmm. Meaning a shepherd knows when he needs to make a sheep stop. He knows when to take him to the water and say, okay, now y'all lay down. Mm-hmm. You take a break. We've been wandering for a long time. We need to take this season spiritually and look at it as a time of renewal. He makes me lie down by green pastures. Let's let Jesus shepherd our heart and make us just rest in him to those green pastures that he leads us beside the quiet waters so that he can refresh our souls. I consider this season a forced Sabbath. Mm-hmm. We live in such a busy, crazy, fast-paced world. And it's like God took the whole world and said, stop. Mm-hmm. Like, stop the normal. Stop what you're doing. Stop. And then we have a choice what happens when we stop. Mm-hmm. We want to choose to Sabbath, to rest in the presence of our shepherd by the quiet waters that he can refresh our souls. We want to take a break. And so we want to help you in that, help you do that.
There was a quote that I actually just heard this morning, and it said this, that if every single day was sunny, we'd end up with a desert. And I thought that was a really, really good quote that talked about if every day was exactly the way that we planned it, if every single day was joyful and filled with all the things that we were planning on doing and wanting to do and stuff like that, we'd actually end up in a place of not health. And what God knows that about us, right? So what he ends up doing is he puts things into our life that force us to be more healthy. He puts those things into our life that force us to take us out of our comfort zone into a season and into a period of growth. And that's kind of what's happening in this season right now. But it's our choice. Are we going to choose to allow this pandemic season to be a season where we just stay complacent and we stay the same? Or is this going to be a season where we are going to choose to put some habits into our life that are going to change us? And I think the question that you want to ask yourself is this: am I going to stay the same that I was before this pandemic, after this pandemic? A question to ask yourself would be, what's something in my life that I want to see different, that I want to see has changed when this pandemic is over? These are questions that only you can answer, because the answers are going to be different for every single person. But as Pastor Tim was talking about, this is a forced Sabbath. This is a break. So what does Scripture say about what Sabbath is? Sabbath is actually, it's a period of rest. It's a period of you're not going to do the normal routines and the normal things that you had done, and you're going to take time off just for rest. So another question for you is, what does rest look like for you? What are things that fill up your bucket? What are things that sharpen your saw? These are our all leadership quotes and stuff, but what is something that you can do that fills you up, that takes you out of your normal routines, that's going to fill you back up? This is a way that we can walk into spiritual renewal and emotional health. So in Sabbath times, for sure, you want to make sure that in seasons that you have of rest, you are getting filled up with the things that are of the Lord. If you fill yourself up with things like Netflix and chocolates and things like that, you're not going to be healthier after that rest time is over. Now, I'm not saying that Netflix and chocolate is bad, because I love those things. Amen. But if I were to only do those things, I would not be a person of health. So make sure that you're putting good spiritual habits in. Pastor Jim talks about this, and he's going to talk about this a little bit later too, but of being in the Word, of journaling, of praying, and having that spiritual renewal and emotional health, because you don't want to end this pandemic in the same way that you started it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's take the opportunity. Let's take the opportunity for some personal spiritual renewal, to put on our spiritual oxygen mask. We want to share with you something that has meant a lot to us personally, in our spiritual walk that we do. At least once a year. The goal is at least twice a year. Sometimes we can't do that just because of a busy year. But we take these moments of spiritual personal retreats, mm-hmm. where we get away from the house, we get away from family, get away from church, and we go somewhere else to be quiet before God. And usually it's one, or we try to do at least 2 days where we can just center ourselves again with Jesus. Life chips away at us, mm-hmm. you know, spiritually. And so we want to give you some of the tools that we use when we do that. We know that Jesus invites us, the shepherd invites us to get away, mm-hmm. to find a quiet place. Now, some of you are like, I don't know where that is. Right. Those of you with littles, turn on, you know, what, I don't even know what the kids' shows are now, right? Like, turn on something on Disney.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. yeah. And hide away in the bathtub, you know, right. for like 10 minutes, you know, and find those quiet places wherever you can find it. Mm-hmm. in Mark chapter 6, we see that Jesus and the disciples were doing great ministry. Actually, this is after they fed, you know, thousands of people, that God did this miracle, but the disciples didn't even get to eat in that process. And now he's like, hey, we're all tired, we're all depleted. And this is what it says. In verse 31, it says, then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He, Jesus, said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Mm-hmm. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Mm-hmm. You need to find a solitary place. I don't know what it is for you. It might be different for all of us. It might be outside on a sunny day. It may be sitting in your car in your driveway where nobody can bother you. You know, wherever it might be, let Jesus invite you to a solitary place with him so you can be still and be quiet and let him speak to you. So that's number one, find a solitary, quiet place. Let Jesus lead you to that. And now there's things that we do when we're in that solitary place that help us.
Yeah. Something that I always grew up with is thinking that, kind of being taught that, and then it became part of me, is that not allowed to feel sad and not allowed to feel overwhelmed. Growing up, I was just always taught the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you don't really need to ever be sad or be overwhelmed by something, because Jesus is big enough and Jesus is strong enough. And so you just need to carry on and soldier on, because God is big enough for this and the joy of the Lord is this. And that worked okay-ish for me until like several years ago, when I was going through a really difficult season in my life and I couldn't soldier on anymore. There wasn't anything that I could do to make myself keep going. I was so far into an emotional pit that I couldn't do it. And I'm like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I don't feel it. I don't feel that at all. And so I learned and I studied and I learned a lot more about this word called lament and what lament means, and how in the Bible, when people were really sad, they lost a loved one or were going through a really hard time, they would actually, several times in the Bible has verses that people would just sit down in dirt and ashes, and they would just throw the dirt and ashes up over their face and throw the dirt and ashes over them, and that they would just wear old clothes and stuff and like tear their clothes a little bit just at the seams and stuff, just saying, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, this is too much for me. And they would just pour the ashes over that, over their heads. And I thought, people that follow Christ never should get to that point. And then I'm realizing back in the Bible, it's like, people that follow Christ get to that point. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with us of getting to that point. It means that we're human. It means that we go through things. It means that life is hard sometimes. And sometimes you just need to sit down in the dirt and let yourself feel the hard. Let yourself feel the tension. Let yourself feel the things that have going on and the realities that have been around you during that time. And that's what lament is. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with it. And God can handle it. And there's so many verses, especially in Psalms with David, that talk about like, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm going through this. And God does not shake his head and go, you poor child, you know, how dare you not think that I'm big enough to handle this situation. God's right there, right in the middle of it all with us and saying, I care and I see you and I'm collecting those tears that you're shedding, and I deeply, deeply care about you. So it's very important to learn to lament. But what's really important about lament is, once you lament, don't stay there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to stay in the ashes in the dirt. You pour it all out and say, this is where I'm going, where I'm at, God. This is what I'm going through, and this is what's happening. But God, I see you, and I want to pray, because you are awesome and you are good. And I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. It's just, I think it's been an emotional season for us and for our family stuff too. But it's just, once you go through that time of this is hard, the best thing to do is just turn that with it. They say worry into worship. I don't think lament is worry. I think lament is just truth. But you turn that into worship of God. You are so good. And you are here with me. And I'm not sitting here alone. And there's so many things that I can praise you for. So turn that lament then into praise. And then after that, think about, again, I'm going back to this. Where do I want to go from here? Where do I want to be known for? What do I want to learn from this experience? And then take that lament time into that worship and help that to move you forward in the direction that you feel God is asking you to go.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good word. Lament is feeling the weight of the reality and letting yourself feel it before God. Don't do it in an unhealthy way.
No.
Don't harm yourself, those kind of things. But it is it's letting yourself just feel the weight of what's really going on and the emotions you're going through. Mm-hmm. Don't stay there. Okay, so you can start getting into a solitary place with Jesus, lamenting, just giving it to him, pouring it out, then changing that lament to praise.
Yes.
Now say to him what you're thankful for. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for a home. I'm thankful for whatever it is. Start listing things you're thankful for. Mm-hmm. So lament to Thanksgiving. And then for me, I call it, now start to dream and plan. Mm-hmm. What can you do right now to dream and plan? Mm-hmm. What's the next thing that you are capable of doing? And start doing it. Start walking into it. Now, we want you to do that during this season. Take those moments of solitary place and with Jesus. And even now, we're going to listen to a worship song that we taught you guys a number of weeks ago from Psalm 23. And I'm telling you, the worship team, I wish this was our worship team. These guys are awesome.
So good.
How they just lead the body in praise. And so take this time. Maybe you want to journal that. Maybe you just want to start even writing some things to lament, writing some things to be thankful for. And let God continue to speak as we continue this journey this morning.
Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup's overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
No weapon can harm me.
No weapon can harm me.
I won't fear.
I won't fear.
People of God, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am not alone.
I am not alone.
Hey, he's my comfort. Somebody just shout Jesus right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Restores my soul.
Restores my
say this with confidence. Mercy and goodness.
Mercy.
say your spirit lives within me.
So I will walk in your peace.
I will walk in your peace.
Say it again,
your spirit lives
within me. Now say this, my victory,
my victory,
my victory,
my victory.
Say
your spirit lives within
me. So I will walk in your peace. Thank you, Jesus.
So as we continue this morning, you know, we talked about having spiritual revival or renewal in your own heart during the season, like taking that time to be with God, be in His presence, be in the quiet places. We also want to talk about emotional health, because there's things that are going on inside of all of us during this season, some that are good, some that aren't so good, right? Anytime when things change, we all respond in different ways. You know, we're all wired differently. And we've been given emotions, and emotions are real. God gave us emotions. We're supposed to emote. Like, Jesus had emotions. He actually experienced all the emotions we experience. And so we know that God knows what we're feeling and what we're going through. And so we want to take a time and be real with them, be real with our emotions. We have Jim here. Jim is our discipleship and care pastor. We're grateful for what he does in our church to help people be spiritually and emotionally healthy. He counsels a lot of people. And so I wanted him to walk us through some things. How can we be emotionally healthy? Like, what's going on with a lot of people during this season? So,
yeah. So the way I look at this oftentimes is that we have almost like a soda pop bottle of built up, pent up energy inside of us. And because as we go about our day, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're with friends or wherever we're at, we're going to build up this friction inside of us. And the more situations that we are in that tend to be frustrating, then the more that friction, the more that pressure is going to build up. It's almost like a static electricity inside of us. As we go about our day, we're rubbing up against people, we're rubbing up against situations that build up this friction inside of us. So the important thing that I would suggest is that we practice mindfulness to recognize when this friction is building up inside of us, to recognize I feel the pressure inside, and I recognize that there is a buildup happening, and I would, and it's good then to be proactive in figuring out how to drain off that pressure that is building up inside of us, so that people around us, and so that we don't get shocked when we are then in relationship with people. I remember a story of, I don't know, maybe you might know the name Zig Ziglar. He was a motivational speaker a long time ago, and he would tell a story of a boss who had a rough morning. And so when he got to work, he encountered one of his employees, and he just let this guy have it over something small. Now, this guy goes about his day, and that buildup, that friction buildup inside of him stays with him that day if he doesn't offload that pressure. So he goes home, gets done with work, goes home, sees his wife. She's ready to, you know, give him a hug and say, how's your day? And he lights into her because of all this buildup. Well, now she's ticked off. And so she sees, you know, their daughter, and the daughter has done nothing, but mom just lights into her. Now this friction is being passed. Then the daughter goes into her bedroom and she sees her dog laying on the bed, and she just kicks the dog, pushes the dog off, get out of here. The dog's now ticked off. The dog goes outside, finds a neighborhood cat, and chases the cat up the tree. The moral of the story is, had the boss just went home to his employee's home, went out and kicked this outside cat, it would have saved a whole bunch of other frustration along the way. The moral of the story is, had the boss chosen to offload that friction that he had built up early in the day, it would have caused so much less frustration in that whole process through the day. So as a leader, if we as leaders and influencers in our work, in our home, wherever we're at, when we are able to recognize that tension and that friction that builds up in us, and then to be able to start to learn how to offload that friction, that tension, we allow not only ourselves a whole lot more contentment and peacefulness, all the people around us were able to siphon a lot of that friction off if we're just mindful enough to recognize it and then understand how to do that in our lives.
Yeah. I know Jim and I talk a lot about, you know, emotional health stuff. And as we were talking about this and wanting to help you guys, I know you mentioned even that picture of a hot water tank. You know, with hot water tanks, there's this valve on the side with this pipe that goes down. And some of you are like, I have no idea what that's there for. I never use it. It's a pressure release valve. So like when too much pressure is built up in that hot water tank, if it gets too big, if there was no release tank, that, I don't know if you've seen like Mythbusters, they've done a lot of this, that that tank can blow up like a missile and shoot through your house and through your roof. So much pressure is built up. But that pressure relief valve, it lets it go out calmly, right? That's kind of what you're talking about, right? Like we need to know the state of our soul, our emotions, so we're not just spreading it out and then creating even more tension in our house with that pressure release. We see that in scripture. We are emotional beings. Mm-hmm. I don't know, during this season, some of you might have taken time to read through the Psalms. I'm telling you, if you want to read about emotions in scripture, that's where they're at. I mean, David wrote so many of these Psalms and he was emoting to God. And he had different emotions. Like in Psalm 32, he was depressed. Like he was just down. This is what he says. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day. He said, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. He's just expressing like, I am down. I feel weighted down. I feel like oppressed and depressed. And those are real emotions, right? He also felt joy though. You see in Psalm 16 verses 9 and verse 11, says this, says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You see, there's a connection with our body and our emotions, like what's going on physically and what's going on inside of us, right? Verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. He's talking about joy. Joy is a choice. But there's also responses of emotions that are joy and happiness and feeling contented, right? And so we have all these emotions. We're experiencing them. We're going to learn, you know, I think when we read the Psalms, we actually see something you're going to teach us in a moment of what David did. Yep. Because he was taken account, like what's going on inside of him, and he's giving it to God. And so we want to help you have a tool to do that as well, to take stock what's going on in your heart. We were talking as we were preparing for this, and Jim has this tool that he's used so many times in counseling, and when he did family counseling, he used it. Just a really powerful tool. So share with us like this tool that we can use to be like David.
Yes. So this was a tool I used. It's called the Zones of Regulation. It was created by a woman named Leah Kuypers. Fantastic tool. It was something I used a lot with families who struggled to regulate their emotional responses. If there was a lot of emotional outbursts, those types of things, this is a resource that is very helpful in allowing a person to be mindful of what's happening inside of them. Mm-hmm. So as with this friction bottle or this, like Tim, like you were talking about with the hot water tank, the key is practicing mindfulness to recognize what's happening inside of me and then the desire to be proactive in eliminating this buildup. As with any tool, we could have the most amazing tool that has ever been created, but if we're not willing to put the work into learning how to use the tool and then using it in a disciplined and healthy way, the tool is useless. Mm. And so, because the tool doesn't fix our problems, we have to be proactive in doing that ourselves and then allowing God to come alongside of us and lead us in the process of doing that. So this tool, it works off of a very, very simple concept of a traffic light. There's three colors in traffic, like green, yellow, and red. And in this green, yellow, and red, the idea is that we recognize what is happening inside of us emotionally by one of these emotional zones. If we are in a green zone, it's where we all really long to be. That's a place of calmness, of contentment, of being focused. It's not necessarily being problem-free, but it's recognizing I'm okay. I'm content with where I am, what's going on around me. That's kind of the idea in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul says, I've learned how to be content in all of my situations. If I'm hungry, I learn how to be content with that, whatever my situation. That's where we want to be. However, life happens and we don't stay in green zone. So the next zone as we move up is yellow zone. Yellow zone is almost a transition zone where we are transitioning out of calmness, contentment, into something else because some kind of friction has happened to us. These emotions would be frustration, irritation, really excited, anxious, feeling overwhelmed. These are some of the emotions that are present in this yellow zone. Now, if I am practicing mindfulness, what I need to be able to do is when I start to feel that emotional escalation, I need to recognize, okay, something is happening inside of me. If I don't put the brakes on what's happening inside of me emotionally, I'm going to risk moving into red zone, which we'll get to in a minute. So the challenge then is to practice mindfulness and recognize when I am escalating, I need to take positive steps, such as prayer. I need to learn how to take my thoughts captive. What are the thoughts that are egging me on into an escalated emotional place? I need to take those thoughts captive, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10, and make those thoughts obedient to Christ. I need to practice breathing exercises. I step away for 60 seconds, and I just breathe. And I let myself start to come back down. Or I have a conversation with someone. When I'm starting to escalate, I have a conversation. Not a heated conversation where I'm blasting someone, but I just want to talk to let some of that pressure out. Or I journal. Whatever brings me back to green zone, that's what I want to do. I want to exercise those mindfulness techniques that will bring me back down. You know yourself best, so you know what works for you. Now, oftentimes when we're driving and we hit that yellow light, a lot of people will, they don't slow down. They gun it. And I want to get through the light so before it turns red.
I never do that.
Right on. Right on. I don't either. But that's what we can tend to do when we get into this yellow zone is I'm frustrated. I want to get this thing resolved. And whatever it takes, I'm going to finish this up. And sometimes if we don't put the brakes on that, then it will take us into a red zone. Red zone is a place of anger. It's a place of aggression. It's a place of maybe being terrified. Or this is when violence can happen. It's where we start to lose control. And oftentimes when we get to this point, we need someone else to come alongside of us to help regulate us and bring us back down because we have lost control and we just can't get there by ourselves. This is an emotional state that should not be visited very often. There are times if someone is bringing violence on us that we have to react in maybe in this kind of way to defend ourselves or something like that, physically when there's a real genuine threat coming against us. But if we come into a red zone consistently, that's something that we should recognize. I have a problem in the way that I am handling my emotions. That should be a huge red flag to say something's wrong and I need to get some help in dealing with how I am managing my emotions and how I'm handling these things. Now, there's a fourth zone, which is called the blue zone. The blue zone is a low energy zone. This happens when I'm bored, when I'm tired, when I'm sick, depressed, sad, disappointed. Those types of emotions are very prevalent in the blue zone. Now, this is a zone where I might need to rest. I just need to let my body recuperate from whatever was going on that's depleted me. Conversations with people, if we're dealing with depression and those types of things, is very important. But to be able to sleep, to journal, those are all also very important because if we don't catch ourselves in that blue zone, those can also escalate into the red zone, where if we're really tired and someone just pushes our button at the wrong time, we can blow up like that water heater that you were talking about a little bit ago. So the blue zone can actually take us into red zone as well. This is a wonderful tool for us. It's a very simple tool. It's a wonderful tool to be able to recognize what's going on, but it still necessitates us being proactive to recognize what's going on inside of us. And then also to take the responsibility to not just allow our emotions to take us to places where we're going to hurt ourselves or where other people are going to get hurt. So wonderful tool. We have to exercise our own responsibility to take action and bring ourselves back down into that green zone.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about that tool, you just Google zones of regulation and you'll find tons of resources and tools, and I know we had a chart there on their screen as you guys are watching, as you were explaining it. But here's what we need to understand. Emotions are a guide. Emotions are a gauge, not a guide. Yep. Meaning emotions are like your dashboard, you know, like the temperature's getting too hot in your car, right? Like something's wrong with your coolant in your car. Boom, that gauge just goes up and up and up and up. That's what emotions are. They're a gauge to show us what's going on inside of us. We can't let emotions be the guide. Too often people put the emotions in the driver's seat, meaning now my emotions are going to control my action. They're going to control what I do and how I talk to people and how I kind of like that illustration that Jim, that story shared with a boss that just boom. For him, his emotions were the guide. It controlled him. We need as Christ followers to understand emotions are good. They're real. The good ones and the bad ones are there for a reason, and they're there to be a gauge. And this is what we wanted to give you, a tool, the zones of regulation, a tool to see where is your gauge? Where are you emotionally? And so before we get into this next worship song, we want you to do that, to check your gauge. Check your emotional gauge right now. And maybe journal and write down, even during the worship song in just a moment, write down the emotions that you've been feeling this last week. some of the ups and downs, maybe the peaks and valleys you've been wrestling with and going through, and put them on a list, and then write red, write yellow, write green, write blue, and check your emotional gauge, especially during this season. And then we're gonna, you know, talk about how you can do some practical things to help regulate that gauge. Some things. So we'll come back after the song and talk about some practical steps to help you. So this song we're gonna listen to, it's called Build My Life. And for us as Christians, we understand we aren't building our life on emotions. We're not building our life on fear. We're not building our life on what's going on in the world around us. We build our life on Jesus. He is the foundation. He is what we build our faith upon. And we want that foundation to be the guide. And so let's worship him and let's do that. Let's journal and take some time to respond. I hope that you enjoyed that time. And I love that worship song because it's scripture, right? That God goes before us, he's behind us, he's with us. Our good shepherd in heaven is making us lie down in green pastures. He's refreshing our soul, and we want you to experience that in this season. I just wanted to give you, to kind of wrap up this morning, some very practical things to do, okay? Some things to fill your soul. I would encourage you, get outside as often as you can. Like, if you can go on a walk outside, go on a walk. There's something that happens when we connect with nature. We actually connect in the presence of God easier because we see his creation. It's like, okay, God's bigger. You know, our eyes kind of get opened and we breathe in the air, this fresh air, and it rejuvenates our body and our souls. It gets us emotionally healthy. I know when we were kind of in a crap season last weekend, it was like, ah! Like, I was able to take our boys, Nikki stayed home, and I took our boys down to the Mohican State Park, and we went on a hike, and it was fun. And we got to, like, feel better after we got back just from being outside. So I encourage you, just take a walk each day if you can, right? Get out in nature, go on a bike ride, take your dog on a walk, you know, just some practical things just to kind of shake up your routine. Get creative on how you can connect with others. That's a hard thing, too, just that you can stay connected in a relationship. I heard of one couple that they would normally every week go out with another couple, and they'd hang out, and they couldn't do it. And they said, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do an online double date. And so they made their own meals at home, and they sat at a table and put the computer up, and both of them did it. And it's almost like you have to play pretend. It's kind of cool. You can be a kid again. You know, pretend that you're with each other. And they ate a meal and they pretended that they were just sitting across from each other, even though they were just FaceTiming or video chatting. To get creative, how you can connect with people or join an online small group. We've got an online small group that started here at New Hope that no matter where you live, you can actually be a part of that and interact with people. So just try and get creative with that and use your hobbies and those kind of things just to fill your soul and just to escape. I would say another thing, establish a routine. Don't stay in your pajamas all day. Like, wake up and get ready for the day as if it was a real day, you know? Take a shower, brush your teeth, and all those kind of things. And at the end of the day, create a bedtime routine. Don't just stay up flipping channels or streaming to the next thing or, like, create a time. I'm going to go to bed now. So you keep yourself in a healthy routine, right? If you are working, like Nikki said earlier, if you're a workaholic, create a time when you clock out. Turn off your phone, shut your computer, don't go to it, and spend time with your family, okay? Create those moments. Now, those of you who joined us this morning, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior, meaning he isn't your shepherd. You don't have one. You're just kind of doing life on your own and just trying to figure this out. I need to know that God is a good shepherd. He loved you so much, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, it wasn't just like a death. He paid the price for our sin because our sin was a wall. It was a barrier in relationship to this holy God. Jesus paid for it. God sent his son Jesus to pay for our sin so we can be forgiven. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He is alive and that we can have new life with him. And if you want Jesus in your life, or maybe in this pandemic season, you're coming back to Jesus in a new way, I would encourage you to run to him. You can pray, you can ask Jesus, you know, confess your sins to him, repent, which means just turn away from your sins, and ask for the forgiveness in your confession. And And so I'm going to pray in a minute. You can pray with me. Maybe you're coming back to him. Maybe you want Jesus in your life. You can pray this with me. But I'm going to pray. You can join me. God, you can say, God, just forgive me of my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I trust and know that he is your son and that he died and he rose again and that he is alive today. And I pray, God, that you'd forgive me and that I invite Jesus into my heart, into my life. I want your peace. I want you to shepherd me, heal me, forgive me. And I just ask you to do this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen. Last practical thing. If you want to join us reading the Psalms, it's a good emotional process. There's a reading plan through YouVersion that's really good. If you just go to that link, mynewhope.tv/Psalms, you can go right to that reading plan, and it's a 14 days. Every day you read a Psalm, and that'll help you in some of the things that we've been talking about today. Let's walk through that. So take that step and find that daily quiet place with God.